Hello, folks. This is the Knick Knack podcast. I am Knick Knack. I am a neurodivergent and queer person and trans as well. I have quite a lot to explain about that on this episode. Reminders of trauma coming up, I'm sure. It's unscripted, so proceed with caution and grab your favorite beverage. And a breath, and we'll get started. So, I don't really know how to begin, other than to say that I've never felt really solid or strong in my body. Never. And part of this is having physical limitations as a result of cancer treatment when I was a kid, and part of it is my body has just never, ever, 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 ever felt right. And growing up, assigned male at birth, you constantly get shit like, big boys don't cry, and similar horrible things said to you, particularly coming from generations past. And you internalize that, and you try to make other people happy, because when other people are unhappy, then you become unhappy. But when I was a kid, I cried. I melted down. I did it a lot. Because I'm neurodivergent. I'm autistic as hell. And that's just part of the experience. But that experience isn't okay. That experience isn't socially acceptable. Also, that experience isn't manly. And apparently, my body says I'm a man, but my brain is saying, no, you're not that. Even from the time I was very, very young, probably six. Five, six, getting that sort of coaching, discipline, whatever. You're a man, you should behave this way. It rubbed my brain the wrong way. It didn't feel good. I didn't understand why it didn't feel good, because obviously I'm in this body, so therefore I should have these feelings. And when I hit those puberty years, and suddenly I really enjoyed singing very high notes, because as a kid you can sing very high notes. Maybe not always on key, but you can still sing very high notes. And my body was slow to change, but when it did, late high school, suddenly I couldn't sing the notes I wanted to sing anymore. Suddenly, I looked ugly. My body did not look soft and beautiful. It looked rough and masculine and ugly. It still does. And I didn't know what to do with that. And I also didn't know what to do with this thing of you're supposed to date. You're supposed to deal with these raging hormonal feelings that you constantly get assaulted with all day long. And I didn't know how to deal with that. At all, at all. I had no idea. I mirrored. I would watch Friends. Or later, I'd watch Scrubs. Or House or Star Trek. Mainly Next Generation, but sometimes original series and Voyager. And I'd try and figure things out. I'd just try and say, okay, these characters, these people are doing these things, therefore I should do these things. And it still didn't make sense, but at least I could say to myself, okay, well, that's what people do. That's the things that people do. Even the adult thing, like careers, jobs, romantic relationships, the only thing I understand about being an adult is that adults are supposed to have jobs and romantic relationships and sometimes kids. And I don't get that. I don't understand that. My brain can't with that. My brain can say, well, I like being creative, I like storytelling, I like telling my thing and creating something that makes people feel an emotion. Start down, bring it up, make them cry, whatever my poem from yesterday was. But I have no innate desire to go to some job and do a routine day after day after day after day after day and listen to whatever somebody else tells me to do day after day after day after day and to know that they're benefiting from what I'm doing much, 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 much more than I am benefiting from it. I can't, I'm not that. I'm also not a man. I'm just not. And dear God, did I do a lot of damage trying to be one. Trying to fit in. Trying to mask. Trying to make it work. And even though I knew, like I said, probably five or six, I'm not a man. I feel like a woman. Even though I knew that a long, 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 long time ago, the social programming is such that it's so taboo and forbidden and not okay to feel or think that. The taboo is such that that's thought of as a mental disorder. And it's not, it's just have the wrong body. That's all it is. My body does not reflect my mind. Gender identity is in the mind. That should not be a hard concept to understand. And so it took years and years of at first overcompensating. Is trying to figure out how to be romantic with a woman. And having that take so long that I ended up being romantic with a man and then going, what the hell is this? This isn't supposed to happen. This doesn't make sense. I'm a Vulcan, I'm logic, I'm reason. I can't logic and reason this. This doesn't make sense. So I was confused. I was overwhelmed. I didn't understand, and I ran away. I'm sorry. I ran away. And then finally, through circumstances that were nowhere near ideal, I end up having a romantic relationship with a woman that, at least for a time, was somewhat mutual. And I didn't like the physical intimacy. It hurt. It felt uncomfortable. And again, I didn't like being in this male body. All this to say, what I'm very afraid to say, what I've been very afraid to say for a long time, but I've always, on some level, known. I don't sound like it, I don't look like it, but God damn it, I'm a woman. And that's okay. That's more than okay. It's just gonna be hard to try and figure out some way to make my body and my mind as in sync as possible. And of course, I'm in the US, so that's a very difficult thing to do. And as much as I hate men and grossed out by men and male bodies and maleness, I can still look at a picture of John Lennon or Kurt Cobain and go, oh my God, sexy. So there's still that pan element in there. Probably always will be. And men are just extremely difficult to have relationships with because testosterone is a horrible, horrible thing. And I'm sure estrogen has its problems. I'm very, very, very nervous about having to take yet another thing to the medical industrial complex and go, yeah, here's the thing. And go, yeah, you have to listen to me because I'm telling you. I'm giving you the answer. I know the answer. A bit like being autistic. It's like I go in, and apparently other people have had this experience too, and it kills me that I'm not the only one that has had this experience. I go in, having mined the DSM-5, having thought about it, reflected on it, internalized on it, hyper-focused on it, almost just to an insane level. And to have all these notes and then to go in there and, oh, by the way, this appointment that you're going into that you prepared all these notes for, that you managed to fight with the printer, you managed to actually get a hard copy printed out. Well, this is a telehealth appointment. So you can't physically hand the notes that you meticulously typed out on your computer to the person. And even if you could, the person doesn't want your notes because you're not a psychiatrist. You haven't read textbooks. You haven't done all this stuff. When, in fact, I'm here to tell you, psychology is one of my special interests. So, yes, I have read textbooks. And yes, I do understand the DSM. I don't like the way it's written because for all the disorders it lists, it focuses on perceived deficits, and I can just say it this way. When it comes to my brain, there are lots of things I can't do. There are lots of things that don't work. I can't be around children because the sound of children screaming and melting down melts my brain. So bad. I can't do it. As an example. But give me a logical puzzle to figure out that intersects with my special interest. And it's magic. And I've learned through life experience that people don't like when I info dump. People don't like my special interest. People don't want to hear about that. When somebody says, how are you? They aren't asking, how are you? There's a social nicety to say, hi, you exist. I learned this the hardest way, probably when I was in the north of England, northwest of England, Liverpool, Manchester area. And somebody would ask, in a very cute, sexy accent, you all right? I can't actually do the accent. I wish I could, but hopefully you take my point. And I thought they were asking if I was actually all right. And at the time, of course, I was melting down, so I was not all right. So I tried to explain to them that I wasn't all right, and they're all off-put because, oh, sorry, bloke. I wasn't actually asking. I just saw that you existed. At least they see I exist. At least there's that. So this whole trans woman thing, I don't know how to proceed. Gender identity is psychological. It's emotional. Don't know if you've noticed, but emotions tend to break my brain. I can handle rational, logical. I can't handle emotions. Emotions break me. They're very difficult. Emotions are the things that, even though I have quite an extensive grasp of language and storytelling and structure and whatever else, emotions I just can't articulate. And so here I am. And so I can only come out to my phone and hope that the people that matter and theoretically care about me hear what I'm saying here. Because as much as I would like to see you in person and tell you in person, I've come out so many times in my life now that I can't do it anymore. I've been socially rejected so many times in my life that I need the barrier of a screen. And I've burned out so many times. I've lost so much executive function that I just can't do it anymore. And it's important to say, when I say I can't do it, I mean I cannot do it. It doesn't mean I'm afraid to do it. It doesn't mean it's really hard. It means I cannot do it. It means if you put me in a social situation that I do not want to be in, that I am not comfortable in, I will melt down. And meltdowns are bad and dangerous because they can either get, for me, in my personal experience, keep in mind, spectrum varies by individual, by every individual. There's no universality to it. For me, Flood. If you try flooding, if you put me in a social situation that I cannot handle, I will melt down guaranteed. I may be able to put it off, I may be able to try and figure out a way to get to a safe space as quickly as I possibly can, but I will melt down. And the meltdown is either angry, yelling, screaming, or it's an implosion. It's silence. It's sitting there just in freeze. You know, fight, flight, freeze. I almost always go with freeze. Because I think to myself, if I just freeze, if I just hide, if I just try and camouflage myself in this moment, in this time, maybe if I'm damn lucky, I can stay in this state until I can get to a safe place where I can finally cry. But God damn it, all the male programming, all that shit has so thoroughly broken my brain that I can hear the saddest, most tragic thing in the world. A person that I care deeply about can no longer be on this planet, and I can't cry. It is really hard for me to cry. And that's probably not entirely down to testosterone, but testosterone certainly doesn't help. And I'll also add that I know what any damn person should know. And maybe you don't know it, so maybe I'll just say it. You can be any gender identity you want and have masculinity and femininity and be emotional and be logical, and gender identity doesn't define what emotions you can have. Gender identity doesn't define what you can do. It's just your gender identity. But if your gender identity isn't seen, respected, and heard, then yeah, that'll fuck you up. That will destroy you. That will break certain things that cannot be fixed. And there are so many things that have broken in me at this point in my life that just cannot be fixed. And all I can do is say, okay, it's complicated, it's scary, it's gonna take more courage than I probably have. But I'm a woman. I need to accept that within myself, within my brain, within my cerebral space. And then slowly, as I'm able, if I'm able, with the financial system and the medical industrial complex being what it is, I need to try and make my body fit my mind. And that is probably the hardest thing about being trans, in my experience anyway. Again, I am only one person. I don't represent every variant of this sort of thing. Have a doctor's appointment later this week. Right now, I can't keep a normal sleep schedule for the life of me. Can't do it. And for as much as I enjoy some of the conversations I have with this doctor, even though I've done my best to articulate, my name is Nick Knack. At the time, they, them. Now, please, she, her. That's going to take some getting used to, but what I'm trying to say is I've continuously been misgendered and dead-named. And there was this great... There was this great woman that was trans that did some comedy that I shared on Facebook maybe a day or two ago, talking about being, I think it was just being misgendered. And those horrible, awful moments when you misgender yourself. And there's nothing worse than misgendering yourself, because A, you're hurting yourself. B, you wonder, okay, did I just misgender myself, or am I figuring out that there's some gender fluidity there? And you have to answer that question. And then C, if you're around people that are have been and are being shitty about misgendering you, you're projecting an inconsistent image, an inconsistent model for them. And if you can't be inconsistent in your modeling of your own gender, then how the hell are they supposed to be? So it's just a lot. It's all a lot. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you feel inclined to donate, knickknackpod.net, that's NICNACPOD.net. May you find the safety and support you need to empower you and meet your needs.